In our study of Psalm 119, we now come to the letter Pei. In verses 129 to 136, it begins in 129, Pelaot edotecha al kein netzartam nafshi. Your testimonies are wonders. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Notice peleot is from pela, meaning a wonder, something extraordinary. And with the ot ending, we're looking at a feminine noun in the plural. Remember, ot represents the feminine plural noun. So wonders are understood. Edut means testimony. And here we have edut becoming edote, a plural feminine noun in construct with cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So wonders, extraordinary, are your testimonies. Therefore, or wherefore, al-kain, conjunction meaning wherefore, therefore, netzartam nafshi, my soul keeps them. Notice netzar is the root to keep, and netzara, it's a cal perfect third feminine singular. And the final he becomes tav, and am is your pronominal suffix, third masculine plural. So therefore, my soul keeps them. And notice nafshi is from the noun nefesh, meaning soul, and in construct it becomes nafsh, and the e is the pronominal suffix, first common singular. So the testimonies of the Lord are wonders. They're extraordinary. They're different than human testimonies. They're divine. And that's why his life, his soul, the psalmist says, keeps them. One of the greatest things we can do is to keep God's wonderful testimonies about himself, about his works, about what he, who he is and what he's done. They are extraordinary. They're different from human testimonies, and it's something that we are to keep and make it a part of our lives. He goes on and says, petah, meaning opening of your words. Notice, devarecha is from the noun davar, meaning, I should go back to petach, is simply a noun meaning opening. It is basically opening or unfolding. So opening or unfolding. By the way, the word testimony I had said is a dude. It's a da, actually. But going on then with the petach means opening of your words. Literally, like the doorway of your words. So here's a noun in construct with devarim. Devarim is from the noun devar, meaning word. And notice it's a plural noun in construct with the segol yod, followed by the cha, which is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So the opening of your words gives light or causes light to come. This is from the verb or, and notice it's a hifil, imperfect, third person singular from or. So the opening of your words causes light or gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Notice mevin is from the verb bein. It's a middle weak form. And the mem with the tser yod prefix is showing this to be a hifil participle masculine singular, it, speaking of the opening or the doorway of God's words, it gives understanding to the simple. The noun peti means simple, and peti here becomes plural, petayim, the simple ones. And notice the im ending is the masculine plural on this noun meaning simple. And so simple here actually means those who are open. It's from the root pata, to be open. So the simple does not mean simple-minded as much as open-minded. Being able to have God's word come in and give understanding. So the doorway or the opening of your words causes light to come, and it gives understanding to the simple. One of the most important things that we can do is to stay in God's word. It actually is like a doorway that gives light to us. It gives understanding, but we have to be open to it. And so simple means we're open. We need to be willing and open to hear God's word and to let it come in. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, Paul will talk about the spiritual person is the one who discerns all things. The natural man is not open to the Lord's word. But one who knows the Lord and knows Christ and wants to find Him and know Him, he's to be open, and understanding will come, because through God's word, one is able to compare spiritual things with spiritual words, or spiritual words with spiritual things, and develop an understanding. And so it's very key that we are open and that we understand that the doorway of God's word, going into God's words, will give us light. It's like a light to our lives. Then he goes on in verse 131, P. Faharti v'eshafa ki lemitzvotecha yahafti. My mouth I have opened wide, and I panted for to your commandments. I have longed for your commandments. Notice, P is the noun followed by the hirik yod, first person singular pronominal suffix. So my mouth, I have opened wide. Fa'arti is from the verb fa'ar or pa'ar, to open wide. And notice the T is the affix or suffix, first common singular, so this is just your cal perfect, first common singular, from fa'ar, to open wide. So I've opened wide my mouth, and I panted. Notice the verb esh afa is from sha'af, to pant, and it is the cal imperfect, first common singular, emphatic with the ah, and the vav is a vav consecutive or a vav conversive that turns it into the past, even though it's imperfect. So, I panted for your word. In other words, your word, first of all, I opened my mouth to eat your word, to take it in, to devour it. And then, I panted for it. And then he further explains that by saying, Ki lemitzvotecha yahafti. For, or because, for your commandments. Notice the lamed here is a lamed inseparable preposition. And the noun mitzvot, te, is from mitzvah, meaning commandment. It's a feminine plural noun with the od ending. The segol yod puts it in construct again with the cha. So for your commandments, I have longed. Ya'afti, from ya'av, to long for. Kal, perfect, first common singular, from ya'av. So he's opened his mouth wide, and I'm thinking of a bird that opens its mouth wide for food. I remember a mother bird feeding its young and watching how the little birds would open their mouth to be fed and would, in a sense, pant after the food. And that's the way he's longing for the Lord's commandments. I'm reminded in 1 Peter, Peter will say, as newborn babes to believers in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And so we need to be constantly opening our mouths to be fed and to really pant after God's Word. In other words, to long for it in an expectant and longing way, much like a child longs to be fed and is not satisfied until it is. To long after the Lord's commandments should be our goal in life. What does He say? What does He want us to do? And by studying His Word, we learn that. And so in 132, the psalmist continues, Pene Eli vechaneni kemishpat leochave shamecha. Turn unto me and be gracious unto me as is fitting or right, as is a right thing or fitting for those who love your name. Pene is from the verb pana, to turn. And notice it's a kal imperative, second masculine singular from pana, followed by elai, unto me. El means unto or towards. And I is your pronominal suffix, first common singular, unto me. I actually is always appears with L instead of E. So you have that, what normally goes on plural nouns as first common singular pronominal suffix. Here, always is plural with L. So turn unto me and be gracious toward me. Ve is just your conjunction. Chaneni is from chanan, meaning to be gracious. And notice we have an A vowel followed by a dogish in the noon and a tseri. So we're looking at a PL imperative, second masculine singular from chanan. And the E is the pronominal suffix, first common singular. The Vav is just your conjunction. So turn unto me and be gracious, the psalmist is asking the Lord, as is right or fitting. Ke is just the inseparable preposition as. Mishpat means that which is right or fitting. As a right thing, or a fitting thing, to those who love your name. Notice the lamed here. By the way, mishpat can also mean justice, but here it means right or fitting. It has a variety of usages depending on the context. So, as is right or fitting, to the ones who love your name. The lamed here is the inseparable preposition, followed by ohavei. Ohave is from ahav, to love. Notice it has an O-class vowel. We're looking here after the aleph. So we're looking at a kal participle, and with the seriyod, masculine plural from ahav, and it's in construct with shamecha, to those who love or to the lovers of your name. Shemecha is from the noun Shem, meaning name, and Shem is in construct here with Cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So as is right or fitting to those who love, to the lovers of your name. So what he's praying for, he's asking the Lord to turn unto me and be gracious to me, as is right or fitting for those who love your name. In other words, because he loves the name of the Lord and wants to do his will, even though he may be a sinner, he's asking for the Lord to turn and be gracious to him because he has such love for the Lord's word and for who he is and for his commandments, for his testimonies. And again, what a beautiful, beautiful text here that we can pray to the Lord, turn unto us, be gracious to us, as is right for those who love you, Lord, and who love your name. And I think it's something that the Lord has promised to do, to turn and be gracious to those that love his name. And so it becomes an encouragement for believers in Jesus Christ who accept him as their Lord to turn and obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord has said. And as we do, he's promised that he'll bless those who do what he's asked us to do, especially at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so then we go on in 133, Ame Hachen B'Yimratecha, guide my footsteps, or my footsteps, order or establish by your word, Ba'al Tashlet Bi Chol Aven. And do not let any iniquity have dominion or rule over me. Notice pe'amai is from the noun pa'am, meaning step or footsteps, and the I makes it a plural pronominal suffix, first common singular. So my footsteps, achen, establish. Notice achen is from kun, to establish or to order. And it is a hifio imperative second masculine singular from kun. The ha prefix gives it away as a hifio imperative. So guide or order my footsteps by your word. Beh here is an instrumental use of the bait, the preposition, which is inseparable. And then imra is the noun for word. It's in construct with ha, the pronominal suffix. So imra becomes imrat, and then we have the helping vowel, the segol, with the pronominal suffix in the ha. So order my footsteps by your word, and do not, ve is just the conjunction, and al is the negative particle not, and tash lev, let be, do not let iniquity, any iniquity, rule over me. Notice cause to rule, tashlet is from the root shalat, to rule over. And notice we have a hifil, imperfect or jussive, with the pathak under the tav, followed by the segol, the E-class vowel. And so we're looking at a hifil. Shalat is the root to rule over, or to have dominion over, and it always often goes with the bait, over, and then it'll be tash leit bet, meaning to rule over me. And the e is the pronominal suffix, first common singular. So here we have this petition. Do not let any iniquity rule over me. Ho is the adjective here meaning any with the use of ho. And aven is the noun meaning iniquity. So do not let any iniquity rule over me, but establish my footsteps according to your word. I'm reminded of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Protect us from evil. And so the psalmist here is praying that the Lord would establish his footsteps according to his word, and that he would not let any iniquity have dominion over him. One of the important things that we can do is to spend time in the Word of God. And that is one of the best ways to order our footsteps according to God's truth, to protect us in so doing from iniquity. The Word of God will help purify us. It helps keep our heart right and our soul right. And so he is asking the Lord to do that so that his footsteps will be established in the way that they should go. And then he goes on in 134, Padeni me'oshek adam, redeem me from the oppression of man, ve'eshmara pikudecha, and or that, probably we would translate the vav here just in, and I will observe or keep your precepts. Notice padeni is from the verb pada, to redeem. It's a lamed hey verb, the hey has elided, and we're adding the pronominal suffix e with the helping or with the noun, sort of the hinge here, what we might call a consonant that's acting as a hinge. So redeem me from, notice the min, the noon has alighted in the preposition, and we have compensatory lengthening here because the ayin could not take a doubling. So from oppression, oshek means oppression, a noun, masculine singular, of man. Adam is just a noun meaning man. So he's asking to be redeemed from the oppression of man that I might keep, or and probably. The vav is just your conjunction and. Eshmara is the cow imperfect, first common singular from shamar, emphatic with the ah, that I might observe your precepts. Pikud is the noun meaning precept, and pikudai is in construct then, masculine plural of that noun, with the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, ha. So redeem me from the oppression of man, and I will observe or keep your precepts. The oppression of man might weigh heavy upon him, and it would drive him away, perhaps, from keep having the opportunity to keep the Lord's precepts. So what he's saying is, protect me from the oppression of man, and I will keep your precepts. I'll be free to study them and to learn them, and hence to keep them. So redeem me from that oppression. And then he goes on in 135, Panecha ha'er be'avdecha v'lamedeni et hukecha. Notice, make your face to shine on your servant, and teach me your precepts. Notice, Panecha is the dual noun panayim here in a plural construct relationship with cha, again, the second masculine singular pronominal suffix. So your face, bring light. Make your face to shine. Ha'er is from ir, to shine. And notice it has a hey prefix, which gives it away as a hifil imperative second masculine singular from or, instead of ir, from or, to shine. So cause your face to shine on your servant. Beth is the inseparable preposition in or on. And Eved is the noun meaning servant, and here it's in construct with cha, avdecha, and the segol is a helping vowel. So cause your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Ve is the conjunction and, lamedeni is from the verb lamad, to teach. And notice here we have a pothok, doubling of the middle radical in the mem. So we're looking at a PL imperative, second masculine singular, with the pronominal suffix e, and the nun that acts as a hinge to that pronominal suffix. So, and teach me, et is the sign of the direct object. Chukecha is from the noun chok, meaning statute, that which is carved out and permanent. And notice here it's in the plural masculine construct with cha. So teach me your statutes. Notice he wants the Lord to shine his face in a favorable way upon him. And teach him his statutes, what he basically has carved out in his word for a disciple to follow. It is interesting that in the Aaronic benediction, in Numbers chapter 6, we have a reference to the face of God shining upon one. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha vihu necha yasa Adonai panav alecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And so we have that same idea here. It means that he looks favorably upon the servant here, being the psalmist. This is the prayer that he's asking of the Lord. And then he wants to be taught, teach me your statutes. One of the things that we should always desire is for the face of the Lord to shine upon us, and that he would teach us his statutes. It's interesting, in the New Testament, Christians can understand that the Lord is our great teacher, our great rabbi. And the Holy Spirit is sent to become our instructor. We see this in the Upper Room Discourse, especially in chapters 14 to 16 of John. And so we're to ask the Lord to teach us his statutes and to cause his face favorably, to lift up his face toward us in a smiling way, to shine upon us. And one of the things we should always want is to be able to study the Lord's Word and to be taught by him. Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4:3, to spend time in the Scriptures, Timothy, for it will make you wise unto salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. And so as we learn the Scriptures, we're to draw closer to Christ and have a relationship with him, and hence obey what he has taught us throughout the Sermon on the Mount, and other very wonderful teachings that he has presented to us throughout his teaching and throughout all of Scripture. And so finally, in 136, the psalmist concludes, Palge mayim yardu einai, alo shamru toratecha. Rivers of water, or streams of water, my eyes flow down, or my eyes run, or come down, or flow down with streams of water, because they do not keep your Torah. Notice Palge is from Peleg, meaning that which is divided, and looking at sort of like streams that cut their way through terrain. And so streams of water, mayim, is the masculine plural noun, meaning water. So streams of water, here we have two nouns in construct. Yaradu, yaradu is from yarad, to run down. And notice it's a cow perfect third common plural with the u suffix or the u affix. So streams of water, my eyes run down with. And notice ayin is the word for eye in the singular. And einai, here we have a plural noun in construct with the I, which is your pronominal suffix, first common singular, that's put on plural nouns. So my eyes run down with streams of water. He's crying. He's in tears. Why? Al here is a preposition meaning because, or a conjunction meaning because. Lo shamru. Lo is a negative particle, not. And shamru is from shamar, to keep. It's the cow perfect, third common plural from shamar. Because they do not keep your Torah, Torah techa. Torah is the noun meaning Torah. And notice, Torah in construct becomes Torat. And the ha is the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So he's saying, I'm crying. My eyes run down with rivers or streams of water because they do not keep your law. When he looks around and he sees the rebellion against God's word, it makes him cry. And I'm wondering if when Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, when he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, I'm wondering if part of the mourning there is not only mourning for things that happened, but perhaps looking at how God's word is ignored and not heeded to, and the sadness of it, how it's just overlooked, or very little attention is paid to it. And so one cries because of that. One is sad. I think this is the thought of the psalmist here. And so as we look at this great section of the Pei, we must see God's testimonies as wonders, as extraordinary. And therefore, because of that, we want to be in them. We want to keep them. We want to see his words as a doorway that gives us understanding. We want to actually be hungry for his word and long for his commandments. And then we want him to be gracious toward us and look his order our steps so that we live our lives effectively, and to, in that whole application of our living, that he would cause his face to shine upon us with favor because we keep his commandments, we keep his statutes or his word. I'm reminded someday the Lord Jesus is going to come back, and will he say, well done, good and faithful servant. as Christians, reading this psalm and then reading the New Testament, we want those words said. Help us to be faithful, to love Him and love His Word, and constantly grow in a deeper knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in worship of Him, as Paul said, to know Him and the fellowship of His suffering, and to really have a relation with Him in the power of His resurrection. That should be our goal in life, to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a deeper way, and as a result, to live our lives obediently to Him, looking forward to His smile and saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant."